Elizabeth Gaskell, The Short Stories. Elizabeth Gaskell is equally well known as Mrs. Gaskell. When her mother died, she was 3 months old, and she was sent to live in Knutsford, Cheshire, with her Aunt Hannah. This setting would become the basis for her novel, Cranford. At 22, she married and settled in Manchester to raise her family. Friends with Charlotte Bronte, she went on to write her biography and was also highly regarded by a certain Charles Dickens, who published her ghost stories in his magazine. Much of her work views the emerging industrial society of Victorian England through her own moral and religious values, and has an uncanny ability to look at and report on the many strata of society. This collection of stories is read for you by Richard Mitchley, Lisa Ross and Gazella Rowe.
Right at Last by Elizabeth Gaskell. Dr. Brown was poor and had to make his way in the world. He had gone to study his profession in Edinburgh, and his energy, ability and good conduct had entitled him to some notice on the part of the professors. Once introduced to the ladies of their families, his prepossessing appearance and pleasing manners made him a universal favourite. And perhaps no other student received so many invitations to dancing and evening parties, or was so often singled out to fill up an odd vacancy at the last moment at the dinner table. No one knew particularly who he was or where he sprang from, but then he had no near relations, as he had once or twice observed. So he was evidently not hampered with low-born or low-bred connections. He had been in mourning for his mother when he first came to college. All this much was recalled to the recollection of Professor Fraser by his niece Margaret, as she stood before him one morning in his study, telling him in a low but resolute voice that the night before Dr. James Brown had offered her marriage, that she had accepted him, and that he was intending to call on Professor Fraser, her uncle and natural guardian, that very morning to obtain his consent to their engagement. Professor Fraser was perfectly aware from Margaret's manner that his consent was regarded by her as a mere form, for that her mind was made up. And he had more than once had occasion to find out how inflexible she could be. Yet he, too, was of the same blood, and held to his own opinions in the same obdurate manner. The consequence of which frequently was that uncle and niece had argued themselves into mutual bitterness of feeling without altering each other's opinions one jot. But Professor Fraser could not restrain himself on this occasion of all others.
"Then, Margaret, you will just quietly settle down to be a beggar, for that lad Brown has little or no money to think of marrying upon. You might be my Lady Kennedy if you would."
"I could not, uncle."
"Nonsense, child. Sir Alexander is a personable and agreeable man, middle-aged, if you will. Well, a wilful woman maun have her way. But if I had had a notion that this youngster was sneaking into my house to cajole you into fancying him, I would have seen him far enough before I had ever let your aunt invite him to dinner. Aye, you may mutter, but I say no gentleman would ever have come into my house to seduce my niece's affections without first informing me of his intentions and asking my leave."
"Dr. Brown is a gentleman, Uncle Fraser, whatever you may think of him."
"So you think, so you think. But who cares for the opinion of a lovesick girl? He is a handsome, plausible young fellow of good address, and I don't mean to deny his ability. But there is something about him I never did like, and now it's accounted for. And Sir Alexander? Well, your aunt will be disappointed in you, Margaret. But you are always a headstrong girl. Has this Jamie Brown ever told you what his parents were, or where he comes from? I don't ask about his forebear, for he does not look like a lad who has ever had ancestors. And you, a Fraser of Lovett. Fie for shame, Margaret. Who is this Jamie Brown?"
"He is James Brown, Doctor of Medicine of the University of Edinburgh, a good, clever young man, whom I love with my whole heart," replied Margaret, reddening.
"Hoot! Is that the way for a maiden to speak? Where does he come from? Who are his kinsfolk? Unless he can give a pretty good account of his family and prospects, I shall just bid him begone, Margaret, and that I tell you fairly."
"Uncle,"
her eyes were filling with hot, indignant tears,
"I am of age. You know he is good and clever. Else why have you had him so often to your house?" "I marry him, not his kinsfolk. He's an orphan. I doubt if he has any relations that he keeps up with. He has no brothers nor sisters. I don't care where he comes from."
"What was his father?"
asked Professor Fraser coldly.
"I don't know. Why should I go prying into every particular of his family and asking who his father was and what was the maiden name of his mother and when his grandmother was married?"